We're in the shrine, the holy ground at the heart of Westminster Abbey, the space that informs and shapes every other space in this extraordinary building. Henry III, who built this abbey, had his own tomb set here alongside the bones of the Confessor. Here are Edward I and Queen Eleanor, Richard II and Anne of Bohemia, Edward III and Philippa of Hainault, and Henry V. Kings and queens borrowing their dignity and deriving meaning from the tomb of Edward the Confessor. Anyone who comes to the abbey can be startled by the sheer number of memorials here. The dead gather and assemble. The abbey is sometimes thought of as a mausoleum, even a national Valhalla. It's all too easy to read off a record of achievement, deeds done, reputations made. It's in the shrine that the great truth is told. This is not the last resting place of the glorious dead. This is a place of encounter. It's not death we remember here, but life. Life touched by the presence and glory of God. Here is a life that was and still is a lightning rod of grace and glory, a permanent reminder that God is known in the life of Christ, in the life of saints like Edward, and in your life and mine. Here is holiness, and you can reach out and you can touch it. That we and all pilgrims who visit this place may know it to be none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. Holy Edward, pray for us. That we may follow your example of humility and simplicity. Holy Edward, pray for us. That we may be brought, at the last, to the heavenly banquet, to feast with you and all God's saints forever. Holy Edward, pray for us.
A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. The mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked a favour of him. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Declare that these two sons of mine will sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left, this is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard it, they were angry with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and that their great ones are tyrants over them. It will not be so among you, but whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Thanks be to God.
The main source used by later historians for St. Edward's life was the Vita Edwardi, probably written very soon after the saint's death in 1066. Some 70 years later, a monk of Westminster by the name of Osbert of Clare wrote a more hagiographical life, discussing miracles and other features of Edward's virtue. 2 decades later, the great St. Aelred of Rivo, who preached at the translation of St. Edward's relics in 1163, wrote a new life, which swiftly became the official account, and from which was drawn inspiration for the scripture readings appointed to be read on and around St. Edward's feast. St. Edward was renowned for his powers of healing during his lifetime as well as after it, and in particular was famed for his ability to restore sight. One of the miracles portrayed in the damaged but beautiful shrine screen is that of a group of blind men washing in the king's water before receiving their sight. This kind of account is not solely limited to Edward. We encounter it in other English saintly stories too. At least in a rather mundane way, the washing is wonderfully resonant of baptism, any transformation linked, perhaps subconsciously, to the fundamental new creation of life in Christ. The gift of sight allied to the deep vision of faith, the one interpreting the other, physical healing an incredible gift, but also a deeper discernment of God's purposes and call. In another story, six blind men were led to St. Edward's tomb by one who was himself partially sighted. Not only a mass healing, but another kind of miracle too, truly the blind leading the blind to the righteous and pious king, whose personal holiness and wise stewardship of the realm made him an iconic figure, especially for those who shared in the solidarity of distress. St. Aelred's account gives us further insight into Edward's character and merits. He stands, Aelred writes, in a succession of holy monarchs. Unlike some of his predecessors, Edward did not gain the crown of martyrdom, nor was he exiled from his own realm for the sake of Christ. Rather, he was the Rex Justus, the righteous king, who reigned with justice and holiness and strove to be his people's servant more than lord. Aelred concludes doxologically and poetically, "That brilliant luminary, the glorious King Edward, shone like the morning star in a cloudy sky." So three different facets of one theme which interweave with each other: physical healing, the sight of faith, and the wise seeing required for good governance and national harmony. That's quite a trio for today. Many, of course, are seeking physical healing during this pandemic, and many more are frustrated that it's hard to perceive how long this sickness will be with us in this way. More than that, a shared direction of travel as a nation, a culture, a human family, will need much more than any roadmap. Last week, Pope Francis released a new encyclical, Fratelli Tutti, on the need for solidarity. The Pope teaches that we need a new sense of friendship and dialogue in society, a recovery of kindness and forgiveness, basic ingredients which signify a deep fraternity. Such a societal healing is at least as fundamental as the search for a vaccine. Many, during this period, find that faith in Christ is both a comfort and an inspiration for neighbourly care or wise restraint. But for others, faith just seems much harder at times like this, groping in the dark for signs of hope and renewal. The wise and long-term vision needed for good governance and national harmony can be truly elusive when the demands of instant decision-making chase our heels, and when populist narratives threaten to obscure deeper problems and more demanding questions. To live in a hope which unites us, we must know our own need for refreshed vision, rather than getting stuck in simply doing what seems easiest. St. Edward's presence with us reminds us that however uncertain this time may feel, others before us have known that need and have sought the wisdom of heaven in addressing it. In Osbert of Clare's Life of St. Edward, a tale is told of how the king attempted to fulfill the vow he had made to go to Rome. When he announced this intention to his barons, they were horrified at the thought of Edward's absence. Their fear was triggered by the belief that if Edward left England, the kingdom would descend into chaos. Edward is still here. Not like a royal raven at the Tower of London, mythically symbolizing the kingdom's security or not, but a real person who still has a real life in Christ, known for his gifts of foresight, healing, and unity, which we continue to celebrate perhaps especially at times of adversity, frustration, and confusion. So here today, we pray with Edward, seeking his prayerful solidarity in Christ for the physical healing of the sick, for greater, braver, and better discipleship, and for the renewal of vision and fraternity in our national life. Edward is still here, prompting us to see and to serve.
The anthem is Bruckner's Os Justi. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. Written in 1879, the text comes from Psalm 37. It's sung here by the choir of Westminster Abbey. We thank you for the example of Edward the Confessor, for his holiness of life, for his piety, and for his prayers. We pray for grace to confess the faith of Christ by word and deed, and for the gift of vision. Lord, hear us. We thank you for those who have been and who are Christian rulers in the world. We pray for Elizabeth, our Queen, and for our country, for wise leadership, and for the establishment of unity within this nation. Lord, hear us. Sovereign God, who set your servant Edward upon the throne of an earthly kingdom and inspired him with zeal for the kingdom of heaven, grant that we may so confess the faith of Christ by word and deed that we may, with all your saints, inherit your eternal glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.